The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Welcome to this week's episode.
We've done this three times now, and it's no one's fault except our own.
Yes, don't worry.
One time it was Frank's, one time it was mine, and the last one was Lindsay's fault.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's usually my fault for putting stuff together and making it happen. It's usually your fault on the technical side of things. So we all have our faults here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We're here. We're going to make this happen. We're sitting here. Lindsay Freeman, Pretty Low, Surface DVD. Fame, I would say the bigger fame comes from Surface DVD.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's 10:40 Sunday night, the night before we're leaving for MiniNats, the 30th annual MiniNats.
Yeah.
You've never been to MiniNats.
Very excited. Very excited for the road trip, actually. I didn't plan as many stops as you had wanted me to, but I did look up some stuff that we could potentially stop.
Well, we have all day tomorrow to do that.
Yeah. Kind of just see what we find.
An app that it's just like you type in your thing and it shows you cool stuff.
This is going to be an interesting trip because we kind of messed around with it a little bit last year, kind of leaving a little earlier, kind of messing around, taking our time, because our old mini Nats trips were just bomb right through. We were just straight through, left here, drove straight through, got there. And last year we kind of messed around with taking our time and stuff. And this time we're taking a lot of time. Yeah. Usually we'd be leaving for this trip when we usually Wednesday morning, huh? I come out Tuesday.
Yeah. Wednesday morning we would drive straight through.
Yeah.
Last year was the first year we stopped.
Is this the show that you guys used to go to and then you'd have the week gap and then go to Battle and Bama after?
Yeah. The first couple of years we went to that, that's what we did. And we'd make it a little vacation thing, which was fun.
Yeah, we did New Orleans the first year, and the second year we did Nashville.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yep. Those were cool trips.
And then this year, you did Havasu Meltdown. You left your house Friday, and now it's Sunday, and you're not going to be back till next Tuesday or Wednesday,
something like that.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. The Havasu Meltdown was a lot of fun. I had a good time.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that, I think, in a whole separate episode.
Okay.
I think.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You don't want to...
In general, though, how was it this weekend? Because you guys went to a show, but I went to a different show.
Right.
Yes.
So,
yeah, no,
it was
the Havasu Meltdown was great. I don't think it was as big as it was going to be anticipated to be, but it was still cool. It was still a lot of fun. My favorite band, the Venomous Pinks, played, which was cool. It was almost like... It was almost like a personal show.
Yeah. Well, I saw some of the videos and I'm there's only a handful of people. That's why I was did you talk to them?
Oh, yeah. We might as well talk about it then.
Yeah. Let's just talk about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we were at Havasu Meltdown my first year, your second year, second year of the show. And it sucks that Art of Noise put their rescheduled date on this date because I think it pulled some people from that event. And I really liked the Art of Noise show, so I wanted to go. But I was already committed to Shane and those guys up there, so I wasn't going to not do that. And it was cool. It was sitting in the booth. There was a nice breeze all day. Mm-hmm. And Lake Havasu was right there. You had a stage over here, and the band started playing at 2. And it was just chill.
Is it in the same spot where Truck and Nationals used to be?
No.
That grassy golf course or something that was right there?
It's not too far from there. It's right where the inlet of... the Lake Havasu, where the London Bridge is and stuff.
Yeah.
That's the London Bridge, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The London Bridge comes out into the lake. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But it was a good show. I had a good time. I had a really good time.
Frank had too good of a time?
Yeah.
So
you told me that you weren't going to say anything until the mics were on.
I know.
So I got to hear the story.
Let me spill the beans. No, there's no beans to spill. So basically, this was going to be the plan. The plan was I rolled up Friday, dropped the trailer, hung out a little bit. Brian was coming Saturday morning. So he rolls out, and he was like, hey, I'm going to leave Saturday night. So I'm like, on
Friday
the
night.
No, you were going to leave Saturday night come back
home. Oh, to come home.
Yeah, to come home. And I was like, okay, cool. I don't know what I want to do because, you know, I'm going to be hanging out, you know, having a few beverages, you know, whatever. So I was really on the fence. I'm like, maybe I should leave too or whatever. And so we get to the night part. The band start playing. The Pinks go up. We watch the Pinks. They rip. They put on such a good show. That was your first time seeing them ever.
Yeah, they're really good. I mean, I love the band and listening to them, like mm-hmm. in the truck. That's all Frank plays.
Yeah, I know. So. And it was funny because he's all like, there's a song called Hold On. He's like, yeah, that's my favorite song. You play it like 20,000 times on road trips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do they say in that song? What's the, they, it's Animal. What is it?
Huh? The whole, it just says, it's Hold On. It's called Hold On.
Is that what they're saying? Hold yeah. on.
Uh-huh.
I think they're saying Animals. Animals. Animals.
Oh, no. No.
That's what they say, and that's what I sing a lot when yeah. when I listen to it. That's what I sing. So, but let's.
Oh no, you're thinking of a different song.
Yeah,
you're thinking of No Rules.
Yeah,
no rules. Yeah, that's
no,
a
it's
different
song. Animals. That's what they're saying. Yeah, and you'll hear it a couple of times.
Yeah, I'm probably more than that. Yeah. Probably more than that.
Let's rewind the day a little bit though.
Yeah,
Frank was sneaky beers.
I was kind of like low key kicking him back
because the drive from here to Havasu is not for the faint of heart. It's
here in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. You get, you know, you take the 10 down, you can go to Quartzsite or Vicksburg, and then you get off on this little road, and it's a 2-lane highway. So at night, it's like,
yeah,
it's pretty gnarly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was like, is that Frank drinking a beer? He's drinking a beer. Drinking another beer. He's like being real sneaky, and then like right before the Pinks went on. I heard your voice like slur for a second. I'm all.
Oh, yeah.
My band's coming in.
it wasn't bad at all. But I was just like, hey, I'm going to leave tonight. Like, you don't have to like stay. You know yeah. what I mean? Like have fun. And then Pinks come on. And yeah, Frank went a little.
So we'll jump around a little bit. So I'm on the fence leaving on Saturday. Obviously, I didn't because I had already been drinking. But then when he's like. The Pinks were done. He gets in the truck and he's like, all right, I'll see you later. And I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, I'm going to stay. And that moment, I'm like, I'm going to turn this up to 11.
We're going all in.
I left. Frank's Titan is here and it's next to his trailer and he's between the two in a camping chair. And I just hear, all right, man, later. And I was like, later.
So, were yeah, you so, like slumped over?
No, I was cool the whole time. Cool. I was cool, but I just decided like, okay, now I'm gonna like, you know, just start having fun.
Yeah.
So a couple cool things. So like, the Pinks played. It's my favorite band. It's Mini Trucks and punk rock music, and especially that band. So it's like all of
this
my favorite
like
things.
This is like the Frank show.
It was.
Oh yeah.
It was almost like
the whole thing was for him.
Yeah.
I think I peaked.
He did peak. There was a second where I like. There was like me and you locked eyes or something, and I like reached my hand out, and I don't know what, but you handed me your camera.
Yeah, okay, so I'll explain what happened.
I thought when he handed me his camera, he was like, "Hold my camera, I'm about to mosh pit."
Yeah, because
granted,
last
there's
year,
no one there.
It was a one man pit.
It was a, yeah. Well, me and Shane, like, yeah, well, because rewind back to last year, so. And I think I thought about this the other day. I was like, maybe a lot of my back problems I was having later on in the year might have stemmed from way back then. Because last year, Authority Zero was a headliner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like when I grew up listening to that band and they're from Phoenix. And you know, like it's like was a whole thing. And I remember same thing with Shane. We just kind of like looked at each other and were like, yeah, let's do it. And we got in that pit and we were acting like 18-year-olds. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And then previous to that, I got into a pit. I was watching Voodoo Glow Skulls, and something came over me. Just the music started pumping, and I was like, I'm going to get in this pit. So anyway.
My youth is coming out of me.
That both shows, that Voodoo show and then the Authority Zero show at Havasu Meltdown last year, I ended up shirtless, hatless, just.
Glassesless.
No, I still have my glasses on, but just ripping around. So anyway. So a couple of things, like the whole set. First of all, like my favorite band's playing, and the lead singer Dre was like, "Man, oh, it's so cool to be out here in Havasu and all these cool mini trucks." And I'm like, "That's what I like."
The only thing that would have made this better if the Dodgers were playing right behind
me. Yeah.
Yeah. If like Mookie Betts was there or yeah, something yeah. like that. So then like they're playing, just ripping, playing, and she finishes it. Dre finishes a song. She looks at me and she goes, "Frank, what's your favorite song?" And I go, "Pizza Slice." And then they just start immediately playing it. And
your I'm just soul like, just left your body.
And then that's where the camera thing came in, because when they sing that song, we do this. That's your little pizza slice, right? So you put your pizza slice in the air. Well, I was holding my camera, and I'm like, I got a little lame pizza slice. So I had, and that's when he thought, like, uh-oh, Frank's lost his
freedom. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but he tried to hand me his camera. I was like, nah, fool. Like, that.
He's screaming at me, Mini Nats!
I was like, Mini Nats, I'm not going to take care of your crap at Mini Nats. I was like, we still have a week to go.
Yeah, he thought I was just going to lose one.
Yeah, I thought it was gone.
But it was so cool. They ripped. The headlining band was a band called Messed, which I was not familiar with. Messed.
I remember them from like the late 90s, early
2000s. Yeah, they're like an old, like an older.
They were around band. In like the pop punk, like
Blink-182 like a couple era. Of their songs, like I was like, oh, that's familiar. But actually wasn't really familiar with a lot of bands other than the Pinks and then Urethane. So that was cool. So
that's Steve Caballero.
Right, band, yeah. Right? That was really cool. So to see them play and see him play was really rad. But yeah, the whole show part was just cool. And then, like I said, I just had fun. And then that was that. And now here we are.
Here we are. And all day long, he's just been moping around the house.
I don't feel good right now.
It's going to take this trip, this nice, slow East Coast trip to get him back.
And you know the goal, right?
What?
Of the trip.
Have fun?
No. Chicken sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. I've never had Nashville hot chicken before. And I've been waiting for this trip. Even when you posted that they had like a new location in Vegas or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and there's a million Nashville hot chicken places. I'm going to wait. Yeah. Hattie B's. I'm going to wait for
at the spot.
The one.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a really neat experience. And I won't give the whole thing away, but we know we after this long trip, we finally get there. And the one that we go to, there's like a couple in town.
Yeah.
The one we go to, and it's like a kind of on a hill. So we park down the street. And it's that walk up there, and you're like getting closer, and then just it just comes out, and it's like, Hattie B's.
Is this the one though, where you guys were like, it's kind of dodgy in the parking lot though, like you don't want?
No, that was that one was in like when Memphis we stopped or at something. Memphis.
Yeah,
because we were running late, and we weren't going to make it to the Nashville location on time.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked and I was like, oh, there's one in Memphis, and we got off the freeway, and then we got back on the freeway. But before we got back on the freeway, we drove through like. I'm going to say it was the Southwest Memphis or something
like that. It was sketch.
Yeah, I remember you being like, this is not a place where we were going to stop and have our stuff in the bed of the truck. Yeah. Like, it was definitely going to get stolen.
Ford Maverick, suitcases in the bed, pulling an enclosed trailer.
Mm-hmm.
You knew we weren't from there.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, no.
And then, you know what was also interesting about that was since we were, like, running late and not going to make it to Nashville on time, we're like, you know what? Let's just get a hotel room, and we stayed in a hotel strictly to go to
Hattie B's for lunch.
That way we have that extra time to get there.
Yeah, because we weren't gonna miss it. Because it's like that's like the it sounds silly, but it's like the reward. It's like
it's just like the Buc-ee's
marathon. Yeah,
like it's trying like to get to Buc-ee's
for the first time. You know, and so it's definitely like a thing. Yeah. Right, you feel accomplished. Like when we get there and we sit down and we have our sandwiches, it's like you did it.
What's going to happen if I eat my sandwich and I'm like,
oh, man, you're out.
As long as it doesn't taste like vinegar, I'm down. But I looked up their recipe and it doesn't appear to have vinegar in it.
Because I'm not a vinegar.
Yeah.
Don't mind me. It's like, geez. Oh, imagine starting that. We're just yawning. That's going to be annoying.
Yeah. Our viewers are going to be like, Bacon's going to be like, hey, pick it up, boys.
Wake it up. Wake up.
Pick it up, boys.
So that's cool.
Yeah. That's going to be cool. I'm excited.
And the first Buc-ee's on this trip it's a new Buc-ee's, and it's not until after Hattie B's.
Ooh.
So there's nothing between like here and Nashville. And there is, but there's Amarillo, which, you know, the big Texans there, and that place is kind of interesting for what it is. But
we ate balls there one time.
Yeah, we did.
I remember eating there and when we went to Indiana and saying, man, if I could travel anywhere with anybody, it would be Anthony Bourdain. And then we... made it to Oklahoma that night, went to bed in the hotel room, and then woke up the next day and I was like, Anthony Bourdain died last night. No, like, we were literally talking about it.
Oh, when me and you went to Indiana.
Yeah.
Yes.
No way.
I was like, we were just talking about who we would want to travel with.
That weekend is when he passed?
Yeah, it was the next day, like waking up. And I'm like, what? We were just talking about it.
You killed him. I was kidding. No. He did himself. But anyway, moving on.
So anyway.
Chicken sandwiches, Buc-ee's. I had an interesting question. Not a question, but someone messaged me. And like they're like, hey, man, you go to Minneapolis. Like, you got to tell us where all the good food spots are. And I'm like, I got bad news for you, man. Maggie Valley, there are no good food spots.
No.
All the good food spots are in Nashville or some other place or the Buc-ee's.
And Asheville's not too far away. I've never been to Asheville, but it's super nice.
And Asheville's just like a normal like little town, though. It's just like...
No, that's Wayne. You're thinking like the town that we went to where that Taco Bell was at one time? That's Waynesville.
Oh, Wayne's that's not something. Asheville. Oh.
Asheville's like 45 minutes away. It's a big city. And that's where that hotel is where the ducks, every night they walk the ducks in and out.
Hmm.
What's that called?
I don't know.
I can't remember if I've been to Asheville or not, but when I flew to Tennessee and hung out there, and then we drove to Florida for, what is that show? Slamfest. We were driving around, and I remember going to the border where, like, on one side of the street is Virginia or West Virginia, and the other side of the street, I believe, is Tennessee or North Carolina. But it was, like, an old street, and basically like split down the middle how like the lines are, like this is this direction versus this direction. It was like that's the border of these two states. But I think Asheville was one of the places that we went to too, because I remember hearing that a lot. Isn't that where like Drop 'Em Where is, or possibly Graphic Disorder? One of them's in Asheville.
What are you doing?
I'm going to look up the famous... Oh, the Biltmore.
Oh, like the Biltmore.
Yeah. Oh, the Biltmore.
Like the Biltmore. Oh. Like there's a Biltmore here, but there's like...
I thought that was a joke.
Maybe no, the there's Peabody? One that's like a mansion.
No. The Peabody Ducks.
Ooh, and that looks fancy.
Yeah. Right. For our audio listeners, Brian is Googling a hotel.
Yeah, and then they walk that walks ducks.
They're walking down a red carpet, mind you, too. They're not walking down the street. It's a red carpet.
I don't know what's happening here.
And also for our video watchers, they don't know what's going on either.
Yeah.
This is going to be a raw dogging episode.
I like it. Yeah. This is like we said earlier, this is what we call straight to video. This is like we bang it out and we stick it on the internet and there it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Mini-Nats. Lots of good times.
Wow, that is huge. Yeah. That looks like a mansion.
It is.
So, Lindsay.
So, let's talk about Pretty Low.
Yeah.
Okay. So, how Pretty Low... Well, first of all, I'm Lindsay Freeman. Nice to meet you. Pretty Low actually came about because back in the day, I used to do Surface with my brother Will and... our kind of mutual family best friend, kind of. They were best friends since like the freshman year of high school, I believe.
You're talking about
Nick. Yeah, Nick. So 30 years at this point, friendship.
Wow.
So
that's insane.
It's pretty deep. But yeah, we used to do Surface, and that was, you guys have heard about it a million times on here before, you guys talking about it, Will coming on. But just doing like videos and photography for that. And over time, people started getting older, married, having kids and stuff like that. So the Surface thing wasn't happening as much, but we were all...
Oh, you're like talking about you guys like
starting families
and stuff and getting married.
Yeah. So we used to make DVDs back in the day, but as time grew on, people started having families and kids and stuff like that, where there wasn't the time to travel and film and spend that much time like dedicated to that. So we all like, we're still kind of doing the, like being involved in stuff, but not necessarily together as much.
Yeah. Each one of you have kind of branched off into your own thing.
Yeah. So Nick went off and was focusing more on like his renderings and his shirt designs and all the artwork that he does. Will continued kind of doing photography when we'd go to car shows and stuff. And then my thing that I like doing is I have always liked apparel. So when we do the Surface stuff, when I go to a car show, like I like spending my time at a booth. That's where I feel comfortable. And that's where I feel like I have a purpose at a car show, like having a booth and then walking around and taking pictures. So that's kind of what I was saying earlier of like when I think of other people going to a show, I'm like, what do you do at a show all yeah. day?
No, I know. Like, I think about that too.
What do you guys do? Just sit? And then I'm like, oh, that's why everybody comes up to me drunk. Like, because they're just there to party and like sit under Easy Up with their club and like spend that time or go up to a bar or wherever it might be. But you guys are like drinking and having a good time hanging out, where I see a car show as like, I've always seen it as a business type thing.
Mm-hmm. Like work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So prior to just like in general of things I've wanted to do in life is I've always been into apparel. Even when I was in high school, I wanted to be an interior designer and start a clothing business. Like I wanted to go to FITM. Mm-hmm. My grades did not want me to go to FITM. My parents' bank account did not want me to go to FITM either.
A design school.
Yeah, Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to go to that school. I've always been into clothes, even though I'm not the type of person who's necessarily like going out of their way to be like styled all the time. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that in other people, and that's the stuff that I'm interested in like looking at is clothing and different designs. And as much as I wear black, I like black, but then neon colors at the same time too.
Yeah.
So I basically always wanted to do clothing stuff. And my dream was to have a store that would be like a hangout spot.
Yeah.
Where kind of there is stores like that now. And then they kind of went away. It was kind of bigger in like the early 2000s when like malls were popping.
Yeah. And you have like PacSun.
And like Lithium and stuff like that, where it was like, there'd be skateboards on the wall and then like different clothing.
It's kind of how like the Hot Topic was kind of born in that era and stuff like that. Well, that was not in the 90s.
Yeah, it was more in the
90s. That was in the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, where Hot Topic is more like
music oriented
and like darker like horror stuff or metal thing, like more of like the darker side. And then like Lithium was like the bros kind of store where you could buy like Dickies.
I've never heard of Lithium. Is that a very Arizona specific thing?
Yeah, it was an Arrowhead mall, but there's a ton of stores like that. Like just the store you go into that has like cool music playing. There's probably like a couch sitting somewhere.
It's like a half skate shop, half clothing shop.
Okay.
Zoomies. Yeah, I wanted a place like that where you could come and hang out. There's cool music.
You know, there's a place like that in Casa Grande.
Really?
Downtown Casa Grande. We went to a C10 show there one time and we're walking. And we walk past this skate shop and it's got clothing racks. And in the back, it's got a mini half pipe. And there was a band playing and it was like 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, that's what I wanted is like a cool hangout spot where it's like a store. But you could also just go there to hang out and like having, I love artwork and I love photography and anything that is just cool. Like I just am into cool stuff. So I'd want like local artists to be in there. Like it was always this dream. Mm-hmm. So basically what I ended up doing was getting a job at a screen printing shop, which was Goodfellas, and starting from screen cleaner, like all day sitting in a dark room, soaking wet, cleaning screens, scrubbing them.
That's the
like,
worst part of the process. I hate that part.
Well, then when Will started working there too, after me, that became his job. And then I was doing the belt, like collecting all the shirts as they were coming out of the dryer. And we started joking about how like, not really joking because it got pretty serious, but it's a vibe in there. Like when you have that job, you can tell that like that person's working that job right now. Like you almost get depressed and like have like a weird, like quiet vibe in the shop because you're kind of just back there doing your own thing and not really paying attention to anybody else. Like you don't feel involved
when you're cleaning screens.
Yeah. Okay. But it's just like the worst of the jobs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It sucks.
So starting there and then moving to collecting the shirts off the belt and then slowly like learning every single step. And at the time it was only like the two owners, two guys that were already working there. And then I was the fourth or the fifth person.
Oh wow.
So then there was two screen printers and then me as like the helper. So that's why I was doing the screens and catching the shirts and pulling orders out of the boxes or whatever. And slowly it just grew and kept growing and kept growing. And that
it's huge.
That shop is based a lot around music. Mm-hmm. So we're always doing like different music festivals, like Warp Tour. Like when the summer was coming around, it was like, get ready to sweat for the next like 4 months because we're going to be in this hot shop printing like 12 hours a day to get all of it. Like, and it's a moving tour too. So like you're getting shirts to a band and then you're already planning their next three stops and like trying to get the stuff there. Almost like the Taylor Swift thing, but like a smaller scale where Taylor Swift had like the second set of trucks that were like ahead doing her stages. Yeah. It was that like planning out where the band's going to be next, but it's also like all these bands and all these music clothing brands, because there was a lot of clothing brands involved in that too. Mm-hmm. So just working at the screen printing shop forever and getting used to that, and it slowly grew over like the last 10 years or so into having like, I think there's like 15, 20 people that work there now.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's like three buildings where it was like half a building in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like working in a screen printing shop made me learn like how it works. Mm-hmm. Like,
did it also give you the insight of design? Like,
yeah,
seeing all these different bands and the different styles of t-shirts that they printed on, and the different, like the one you have on now is what's that called?
A ringer tee.
I kept on calling them a Raglan. What's a Raglan?
A Raglan is like a baseball tee.
Oh, okay.
A Raglan's where the lines go like this instead of like straight on the thing. So it has like the angle on it. Because you can have a Raglan that's not a baseball tee either. Like there's Raglan sweatshirts and stuff like that. It's just the style cut that it is. Mm-hmm. But we had already been doing the surface stuff prior to me working at Goodfellas. And what happened was, we would be traveling and going to all these shows and selling DVDs and filming things. And then we had our own merch, but everything was like boy specific. Mm-hmm. Or we would do a shirt, like a girl cut shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And like Nick was kind of doing girl stuff for a while when people started asking for it, but it didn't have anything to do with cars. Like he did the Marilyn Monroe shirt, and then there was one with like a sailor girl on it. He was just doing like girl,
and these are like surf, but they're still surface shirts.
They're still surface shirts, but they were like the girl
the
shirt
girlfriend.
But they
the
didn't
shirt
have
for the girlfriend.
And they didn't have anything to do with trucks. So what would happen is that people would come up to the booth all the time and go, hey, do you have any girl stuff? Be like, no, not really, like we have these shirts. This was before Nick even made those ones, but we don't really have like that much girl stuff. And then I started noticing that like nobody really had girl stuff. Mm-hmm. And if they did, it was like weird teeny like baby doll tee, like and like
that,
weird
that,
brands.
Not like something you'd wear often.
Yeah, like weird brands and stuff where I'm like, this is not like back when Bella Canvas used to be awful. Mm-hmm. Like now they're like a good blanks brand. But like back in the day, they used to have those weird, like, I don't even know how, like baby doll tee is the only way I can explain it. Yeah. And they were like these thick shirts. But in the mini truck scene, even if a company had something for a girl, it was always like, I love my boyfriend and his truck. I love, like, and I was a girl who was a mini trucker independently. Like, it wasn't, this is my husband and his truck, and I'm just like the wife or the girlfriend in the club. Like, I was in the club as
you've
a member.
Had trucks and
Where it's like, there's other girls that are like this. So I always wanted to start making girl specific stuff. And since my Instagram handle forever, or social media in general, was Surface Girl, I'm like, we should do Surface and then have a Surface Girl line too. And I had kind of started asking people on like MySpace and Facebook and stuff, like, what kind of things would you want? And back in the day, it was so simple of like flip-flops and bikini top and thong. Like, come on, guys, let's get creative here. So, yeah, I'm like, I want to do something better than this. So then working at Goodfellas, it made it where I was seeing different brands of shirts and different designs that people were doing. I'm like, there could be so much cooler stuff out there, because bands do really cool stuff or cool plays on things. Mm-hmm. And then we would also do a lot of like other clothing brands or local stuff. And a big thing with them too is Joe, who owns Goodfellas, is it called just a brewer? Like,
if he makes
homebrew beer.
Yeah, I think like a hobbyist.
Yeah, brewer. So he ended up getting into like the brewers like guild, where he gets to be the one in Arizona that's like, if you are a brewery, like, come get your stuff made from us. Oh, okay. So all these breweries actually have really cool art.
Yeah.
So like we were kind of showing you guys like, hey, the all the different cans, like beer cans, have such cool art on it. Well, mm-hmm. those beer companies are making like merch with that stuff on it too, where it's like even just different styles, like more cartoony versus realistic, mm-hmm. or whatever the situation is. But just getting inspired constantly, or like seeing a color shirt and I'm like, ooh, that looks cool, and that looks cool with like purple on it, like, mm-hmm. this color combo is cool. So working there helped me like want to do it, and it seemed more tangible now, yeah. because I was the one that was doing the thing and yeah. had it at my fingertips. So I remember it was 2014 or 15, I think 2015. I'm at work, and back in the day, like, we had Surface stickers that said, I'm a girl and yes, this is my truck. Mm-hmm. And that was made because I'm a girl and yes, this is my truck. Yeah. Like, constantly driving my truck.
Your envoy?
My envoy. Going to like the gas station and people being like, is that your boyfriend's truck? Like, just making dumb comments where you're like, no, it's mine. And then it's funny too when you like pull up on somebody and then they see the sticker and they're like, oh, there's a girl in there. Sorry. Especially girls. Girls, like teen girls that think a guy's driving it, and then you pull up and they're like,
yeah. Oh, man. I don't know if you've, I, this is going to be a freaking deep cut here. I don't know if you ever saw, there's like a TikTok of this, it's like this person riding a motorcycle and they have like Joker makeup on, but it's like really good Joker makeup.
Yeah.
And these dudes pull up and they're like, hey, oh, that's so cool, the Joker. And she goes, yeah, and I'm a girl. I don't know. Anyway.
Sorry. Yeah. So we used to have that sticker. So I'm at work one day and we just in like a group chat with like me, Erica, mm-hmm. in your club, Cheryl, Pocahontas, in Freaks. I think Missy Cisco and somebody else was in there. There was like a little group chat that we were doing, and we just started talking about like making a girl specific group, mm-hmm. that was for girls that had trucks. Mm-hmm. And it sucks because that's how the Female Mini Trucker Association started, was because of this conversation. Right. That's why I was talking about the sticker, is because when we were talking about it, I'm like, maybe I'll start making these stickers again, and that could be like part of the thing, mm-hmm. we could sell them to girls with trucks or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we started the Female Mini Trucker group, and like that was at like 10 a.m. that day, and by 5 p.m. when I was clocking out of work, we already had like 1,000 people in maybe not 1,000, but it was like up there, like maybe 700 people already in this group, like a mini trucker group or whatever on Facebook. But it was like, whoa, this like is a real market.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I should just do the thing. Like, I should just make the girl specific stuff. So I started brainstorming like what names should be. And actually, I will give credit to Tanya and Brett Taylor for helping me come up with the name Pretty Low, because we're like spitballing ideas back and forth. And then Pretty Low was suggested, and I'm like, that's actually perfect, because it's not specific. Mm-hmm. Like, the thought process behind it is, yeah, I'm making a brand that's for mini truck girls, but I also just like cool designs. Mm-hmm. So I want to make guy stuff too. And guys were asking for it. So like, even when I just had the logo shirt at the beginning, it was like the mini truck girl was buying like the lipstick and truck shirt, and then her boyfriend or husband would buy the regular like logo tee. I'm like, oh, this is cool. Like,
well, it gives
it's like a team. It's a reverse version of how all the other.
It fits so well because, like, what's the first thing you say when you see like a really low trigger? Like, that's pretty low.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
So it's
really
like cool. Pretty low. Yeah. Or like, damn, that's pretty low. Yeah. Like, it could go either way. And it's not like mini truck.
Yeah. Something. You're not like pigeonholing. Pigeonhole?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into one certain thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I like about it is that I can go to like a Stance show or I could go to a C10 show. Like I could go to a Hot Rod show with stuff and it doesn't have any name that's like.
It's very versatile.
Yeah. It can good across the board. So I started out making just like 3 or 4 designs. There's like the logo, the jeans, Chucks, lipstick and trucks shirt.
That's a good one.
One, because at the time, everybody was doing those and shirts. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that flows and that's me. Mm-hmm. Like, I had Chucks on, jeans, red lipstick all the time. Like, and in my truck. Like, that fit me. And I'm like, that's most of these girls, though. Like, just jeans, whatever. So, had that one, had the Stay Pretty Low shirt, Brian.
Which was funny because when I came up with Stay Low, I was at LST and we were leaving and the guy walked by me and he had a Stay High shirt, like a weed shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all, I should just replace high with low.
Yeah, I remember that conversation.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, perfect. Yeah. Let's
and
do
I
it. Go,
that's what I'm going to do. And I did that. And then like 6 months later, I went, oh, Pretty Low, Stay Low. I'm all, did I bite that? And I go, I don't think I did. I was like, Lindsay's not the shy one to say not say anything. And because it's not like really a thing. It was just like a side thing for Grindr TV to kind of boost it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's slowly going away, actually. But like, it's just I just didn't even put two and two together.
And then also,
I'm in no way claiming that I like came up with that at all, because also Flow or possibly Slammed,
it was Slammed,
did one like around that same time too.
Stay Slammed.
It was like, I think it was, I showed up at Severed, I think was the first show I like went full out and had like all these designs at. I think Slammed was also at that show and had a
You said around
stay
14,
low.
14,
yeah,
15.
14, 15.
Was it was, well, it was 16 was the year you came to Forbidden. It was the first year at the Avi.
Yeah.
And that was, I remember.
15, August 2015 is when Pretty Low started.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So.
Yeah, it is kind of funny because I remember when I came up with the Mini Truckers Never Say Die from the Goonies thing. And I constantly questioned myself that where did I see that? It, like, sometimes I'll like just an idea pops in my head and I have to constantly question myself if I've seen it before. And that's why it came into my head.
If you've seen it before, though, and it's just out in the world, I feel like that's one thing. But if you've seen it before and then it's like relevant to like the scene that we're in, like somebody else was already doing it, that's kind of different.
Yeah.
But I feel like yours was kind of, it didn't count as like you were biting somebody's style or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try, whenever we try to do stuff, whenever I'm like inspired by things that I see, I always try to like make it different. And it's funny because, like, and I always, I've used this example before, but I saw a famous shirt and it said, what did it say? It said, Gangster Rap Made Me Do It.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have that shirt, I think.
Yeah.
It's
a cool
not a
shirt.
Famous shirt, but I have a Gangster Rap Made Me Do It.
I don't know who made it. So, but then I saw that and I was like, man, that's so cool. I should just put Mini Trucks, you know, Made Me Do It. That'd be so easy. But I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try something else. So I ended up with a shirt called Blame It on the Mini Trucks.
Yeah.
You know? Which was funny because like it took a long time to figure this out and get it all ironed out and done. And then another company just took that same shirt and just put Mini Trucks Made Me Do It in the same font and the same design. I'm like, no, oh, I could have just done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think all of us, because there's so many common words, mini trucks and mini trucking being the most common. Right,
yeah.
Right. And you're seeing that now with just, there's so much
different.
You can
only say it so many ways.
And you can only have so many Facebook groups and so many this and so much that. Like,
yeah.
It starts to become a thing. And then like, then low. I mean, what are the other words that are just super common?
Slam, low.
Yeah, slam, low, scraping.
Yeah.
All these things. And there's so many merch companies that event, like things are going to kind of cross over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of times too, if I have an idea for something, this is kind of more of what I was trying to say to you is like biting somebody's style that's already doing it versus just like the generic masses is all, if I have an idea and I think that I might have seen it, I'll just start searching all the other mini truck like brands and going on their website and looking to see if they have anything that is the ideas that I was thinking of. That's what
I
did
with that one. I went on OLP's, Our Lifestyle Podcast, because he would be the one to like reference Goonies.
Right, right, right.
They do all the old movies. And I think they did a Back to the Future one, and maybe that's where I was getting like
the inspiration from.
Not the inspiration. I got the inspiration from the movie.
Right.
Because it's just a cool saying.
Did that lady ever find the video that she was telling you about where people were like, when they bought the Mini Truckers Never Say Die banners, and they were like filming it and putting it with the Goonies song.
I don't know. Yeah, I know that lady. I don't know. I mean, I haven't checked my TikTok to see if she sent me a message on it or not. But yeah, like I just love that saying. The Goonies never say die. When they were down there, and it's just like our little group.
Yeah.
We don't quit. Right. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I was like, oh, I'm going to make that.
Yeah.
I need to bring that back too. But so I'm losing it again.
No, it's okay. I have a couple questions.
Okay.
So learning the screen printing process and cutting your teeth in that and getting you to where you are now, have you ever thought about making your own stuff, like getting a press? And
so, no. Like,
it's hard.
It's not even that. It's just, I don't see myself retiring off of mini truck merch. Mm. Like, a lot of these companies, like even you screen print, like that's your job too, is like screen printing, and then you have a brand. And like there's other shops, like even KIK, Drop 'Em Wear, Graphic Disorder, like they do their own stuff, but they're also doing everybody else's stuff too. Like they're not just making money off of their brand. So for anybody that's like out there thinking like, I'm just going to start a brand and quit my job and retire off of it, it's like, it's so much work, and you're going to have to be doing something for somebody else too if you want to like actually get it going that big. That's why when I see people coming out to a show, like if you have the money and you want to spend money on that, that's you. But when I see like a new person come in and they're like got the trailer with the wrap on it already and like all this stuff, and you're just like, where did you come from? One,
yeah,
and two, like I'm like panicking for you because you don't know, like the people that you're comparing yourself to have been around for like 20, 30 years, and you're coming straight out the gate trying to like automatically be at their level.
Yeah.
So I like the booth thing. I like it just being a hobby for now. It would be really cool if it's a hobby that turns into having a lot of extra income with it and making it so, hey, maybe I only work 4 days a week now and go to more shows.
Yeah.
Like, but still always having like a regular job too. Because right now too, like trying to rebuild this is my actual paycheck is going into it. Yeah. Like,
well, I was talking to Frank about that. I was like, when Lindsay came out, she came out swinging. Yeah. I was like, I remember when she went to Forbidden and just killed it.
Yeah.
You were up on the grass. You were just, I remember you were after that show, you were like, when's the next show? Like we're doing, and then I do think you did Cruise to the Pines, and then you know just a bunch of shit happened, and then
I did a ton of stuff that first year, and then by just before Forbidden the next year, it was like breakup, moving, COVID, like all of this stuff, like every single thing.
It was like the breakup thing, all that, like a lot of personal stuff, and then started coming up on the high, and then COVID just knocked
me out. Like any time that I've tried to start doing this again, something comes down to the fact that like when I started this, I was literally in my one bedroom apartment by myself doing stuff on the computer, and I had no internet in my apartment either, so I was just doing stuff on the computer, then going down to the business center in like the rec part of the apartment like lobby and using their internet to like print out labels and put stuff on the website. Like I would do all of the like setting it up, but to actually launch it, I needed to like have an internet connection. So like I've literally been doing this as the struggle since like day one.
Hey, I have too.
But it was like because it was really good, but then it was like all of those falls down made it harder each time to like go back up again.
Yeah.
And now it's like it's been I would even do like a couple little things like in the meantime, if I had the lipstick and truck shirt or something like that, and I'm going to LST to mm-hmm. help you like do your booth, you're like, yeah, put a mannequin up. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Okay, I'm making maybe $200 at the show, but it's like, that's more than yeah. I and would have if I wasn't doing it. Yeah. So one good thing, not good thing, but one thing Brianne brought up over the weekend was, I wonder if it's harder now because people think that you're just part of Grindr and and Frank. Like the designs are just intertwined with theirs, and maybe they don't know.
It becomes a thing, especially like LST. We had like C10 Vatos, Grindr TV, and Custom Life, and a couple of your shirts trickled in there. Like, it really is just does look like it looks like a big Grindr TV booth because mm-hmm. I have the only printed banner,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, yeah.
And you're usually in the middle,
yeah.
So it's like usually in the middle, yeah. And then our easy ups on either side,
yeah. And it is, but the shirts just run continuously. So mm-hmm. people are like, I want that one. And then they'll look down and go, and I want that one mm-hmm. down there.
Yeah. And then we're just like, how much are you selling yours for? We got to figure out like what deal yeah, everybody's doing right now.
Yeah. We kind of just, it is so awesome how it all works together and stuff yeah. like that. Like we're doing our separate thing and we're critiquing each other's stuff. And mm-hmm. we're also like helping each other out.
Yeah.
Like when Frank comes up with a design and he'll put it in the group and he's like, okay, tell me what you think.
Yeah.
And like same thing with me, same thing with all of us kind of do that. Yeah. It's really cool because yeah. we all have different tastes
mm-hmm.
and abilities.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing too. Like I know that it's happened to you guys also, but even just talking to people like my mom or like family members or just people that even at work where they're like, you're traveling with your friends, but you guys all do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it doesn't feel competitive at all yeah. with you guys and Joe and Morgan too, like in the yeah. mix where it doesn't, because we're doing the same thing but in different ways.
And almost. The funny part about that is we are all competitive people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're competitive yeah. with everybody that isn't in this
exactly.
group. if you're not in the true, chat.
Yeah. yeah.
I'm sorry.
The chat is keeping the glue together.
Yeah. yeah, yeah I'm yeah. sorry.
But it is up to us to, like, you know, when we go to something and I sell this many, Frank sells this many, you sell this many, Joe does. It is up to our responsibility on the sales. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
To keep up, we bounce each other off. Like we have to listen to each other too.
Yeah.
Like give an honest opinion about something.
Yeah.
I remember I've done designs and I send them to Brandon at Feel. He's like, absolutely not. He's like, nope. And if I didn't listen to him, I would have done that and probably not done anything, you know?
I think another big thing too, now that I'm thinking about it, is yeah, we might be competitive people in our own kind of like individual thing, but we don't have any egos. I think yeah. that really helps out too, because we don't like, there's not these egos like butting heads or anything yeah. like that. And when someone comes up to the booth and they're just like, so is this all the same thing? Yeah, whatever.
Basically. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
maybe the guy before you didn't get the same deal as you. It's not like we're like giving people different prices or whatever, but mm-hmm. somebody's standing there and they really want your shirt and really want your shirt. Like somebody's going to work something out of like, yeah. we'll do a deal. Like,
yeah. Well, and we don't really do the deals anymore. Everything is like just straight
base
across.
Base price.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, Frank was the one holding out on that.
I think I was the last one. I think yeah. Joe was the first one to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. And we kind of like.
No, it was Morgan. Morgan
was. I was going to say, nope. Joe or Morgan that's in the background like.
yeah.
No, but give me $40 now for that one yeah. shirt.
One of the funniest things ever was when we were at LSC. We're hanging out. We're selling stuff. And that's when we were doing deals and we would sell shirts. They were $20 or 2 for $30. Someone goes into the booth, gets one of my shirts, gets one of your shirts. Okay, yeah, 2 for $30. So then I'm standing there and I'm looking at the money and I'm like, so wait a minute. So who gets the 20 and who gets the 10? And then Lindsay goes, it's 15 each.
Yeah.
I'm like,
we can make change, oh, yeah. Frank. Like,
that's the funniest thing, dude. It was so funny.
I get the 20 this time, I guess. Yeah.
There's probably been so many times where we have ripped each other off
yeah.
and not even known it. Yeah. We'll like run, like Frank won't have service. I have service.
Yeah.
And like even this weekend, like I ran a sale on mine and I was like, hey, you owe me $40. And he's like, no, you owe me $40. And I'm all, oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure lots of yeah. stuff has happened.
You know what's even worse? Me at Severed this year when I had my bank card in the back of my phone and was doing the tap on purchases and charging my own card, so everybody was just getting everything for free.
No way.
Yeah. How? You were standing there?
No.
There's probably like four people, I think, four or five people that I was like,
Free stuff. And you bought your own
shit. It's because my card swiper wasn't working. Uh-huh. And it had like the tap option. And I'm like, perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, this little Uno card. So
it was it coming out of that account? It was charging that account, but putting it back in that account?
Yeah. So you were just paying a fee? I was just giving people free stuff and being charged a fee for it. Like,
yeah. Like, I'm sure all sorts of stuff has happened.
Yeah. There was one time when we were in Arkansas at Robbie Bryant's show. Mm-hmm. I forgot what it's called, but we jammed out there and Angie didn't go with us. It was just me and you, and we were just kind of like scatterbrained. And mm-hmm. you were doing the 2 for $30, and I was doing the 2 for $30. And like the guy bought 4 shirts, and we gave it to him for $30.
Right. Yeah.
The guy was like, "Okay, so it's 2 for $30. Yeah, so 4 for $60." We're like, "Yeah." And he gave us I don't even know how it worked out. But he left, and we're like,
"Did we pay him somehow? Yeah. Did we get $60 and the shirts?"
Yeah. Nah, I'm sure that all sorts of stuff has happened. That's cool. So where do you see your brand going? Like, obviously growing, obviously, like, you know, maturing and all that. But, like, where do you see it?
So,
still the store, maybe something else?
So, kind of what happened was, back to what we were talking about before, is with COVID and everything, coming back now, it's like starting at zero. Mm-hmm. Especially, too, I'm like, I let my pretty low Instagram kind of go dormant over the years, too. I'm like, I was posting everything on my personal one. Mm-hmm. So, going back to it and trying to use it as like a business thing, I had to like archive all of the posts that showed that like I even was a brand, like that I've ever made clothes, which mm-hmm. was kind of like, this sucks because now it just looks like I really am just starting right now and I never did anything mm-hmm. in the past. But I was having too many people that were asking for old stuff, and I'm like, that thing is from like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't exist anymore. But I would be scrolling like on the Pretty Low Instagram at the people I was following, and I'm like, who are these people? And like, everything changed, and I realized that in the last few years, people broke up with people, people had kids, like their lives are completely different now, that they're not even into trucks anymore.
Right.
Or COVID happened, people aren't alive anymore. Yeah. Like, the whole thing shifted, and different social medias became popular. Like, everybody's on TikTok and Snapchat and all that kind of stuff, that like, I kind of just like my little Instagram page and like feel safe here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like TikTok, well, I'll get to that in a second. So, my Instagram page, it was like, I didn't have anything to post too. And then I would try and start posting the new designs, but I wasn't really getting any traction. And then I'm like, I don't have any photos to post either. Like, all the stuff that I have photos of is from the last few years, but nothing current, where everybody else was posting like the show I was at this last weekend or the show I was at 2 months ago. And I'm like, I have so much LST stuff from over the years and like kind of local shows, but besides that, I don't have anything that's really current. But since I have been doing this since high school, I have 20 years worth of banked photos. Like, mm-hmm. I've been doing this since the original Surface thing and have all those photos. And then when I was just doing it on my own, to now that I'm like, I'm just gonna start posting photos,
right?
Because it technically is Pretty Low Photo and Apparel is mm-hmm. like what the crest says. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I am a photographer, like I should just start posting pictures on here too. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just made my page more like that than a merch mm-hmm. brand for a while, because I'm like, well, I don't have any, like, I did the first batch of new designs at LST last year mm-hmm. and then it kind of like fell off over the year, where I didn't have too many shows to go to, and I was still trying to figure out like people even knowing who I was and making any money off of it. I was just sitting there like, nobody's going to the website, and I just have all of these bins full of clothes and I can't get anybody to buy them, and I don't have an event to go to either. So like, this sucks.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I at least start making the Instagram page photos, then I'll get people following the page and then slowly just throw a shirt design back in the there
algorithm. Yeah.
And do that. So, and I was trying to like build up my banking money from my job to be able to pay to get stuff made, yeah. because it's not like people were steadily buying stuff or buying like pre-sale items
yeah.
where I could use that pre-sale money to pay for the thing to get made. It's like I have to use my own income. So right. I have to sit here and be like, what bills need to get paid? What do I have left over? Okay, save that and then wait until I can do a new design with it. Because also, besides making the shirt, you have to pay for artwork to get made right. too, which is not cheap. Mm-hmm. So I have the longest list of designs that I have ideas for yeah. mm-hmm. from the last like 6 years. Just every time something pops in my yeah. head, even at LST and stuff, like just looking at every single person, what colors are people wearing? Mm-hmm. What, not judging people, but like what sizes are people? Like mm-hmm. I'm always looking at people like, okay, the masses,
more attention
are
like
you
that.
A small? are most people a 3X? Like there's nothing wrong with either of them. I just want to gauge
right. you
what I should be yeah. ordering
yeah.
Right.
and not have 100 smalls left over. And I'm
yeah.
like,
yeah, that's, cool. I'm getting better at that part of it. And I wasn't before, but, what I'm paying attention to now is colors, and not even colors that like, I'm paying attention to like what big YouTubers are making,
mm-hmm.
like
me too,
non mini truck people. Like, mm-hmm. and I'm ordering the t-shirts just to see them, feel mm-hmm. them, just to, you know what I mean? And then wear them and just to see the reaction to the colors and all right. that stuff. So like the two that I have, they're olive green shirts. So I want to do in like an olive green with an orange and a red and like these weird colors. Mm-hmm. And so I've been, going back and forth with Chris on that idea just to like try to figure that out.
Right.
Because I want the booth, when you stand back and look at the booth, it's just all black shirts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when I had that Dotson done, it freshened it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if how many I want to do that too, because it's very hard to like, you don't want to, I can't go crazy with colors.
Yeah, right? You don't want like a full rainbow, but you want like
yeah.
black and six like black, a couple different.
And then
like
do the beige. And then when the beige starts getting low, like,
yeah.
Ditch that. Do a green. Mm-hmm.
So what I do a lot with that, and I'm always telling you to do it, but you never do, is
I'm pretty hard-headed.
You're easier to do it because you're literally making your own stuff. Yeah. So you have that, like, you can just pull random thing and make it for yourself. But like if I'm doing a design and I have to make however many of them, I'm going to mix it up too. So like I just reordered the Bagged and Bodied on Billets shirt because that one was like basically sold out at Forbidden. Mm-hmm. So I needed to refill it for Artanoise this last weekend and for Mini Nats. And in the past I had done a maroon version of it and it sold really well, so I just did that again. But like the lipstick shirt, there's a new version of it where it's not the and one that it used to be. It's like kind of a 70s style looking one with like lines on it and like a different font. But I'll always do the base in black, but have other options too. Like okay. there's always gonna be a black version of this thing, but now there's black and maroon tank tops and purple tank tops. And
what about this Rager? Me and Frank were talking about that.
So
are you gonna do a black version of that truck?
Let me tell you. So this is the new shirt. It'll be available at Mini Truck Nationals. It says Make Rangers Square Again. And then at the bottom, it says this campaign advertisement was paid for by the offices of Pretty Low Apparel.
Yeah, I like
because
it. I love it.
Square Body Rangers are the best truck ever made. 1986, the year I was born, that is the best truck ever created. You can fight me on it. I stand.
Do you want to build one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it, like when I sold the Envoy and everybody's like, well, buy something else with the money. Like, so I sold the Envoy to do the Pretty Low stuff. Mm. That's why I got rid of that truck, was to invest it in myself to potentially make more money to build something cooler one day. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm trying to do now, is like 2024, really, really taking it serious. Yeah. Like every month I want to have a new design coming out and trying to hit up more shows mm-hmm. than normal. But my goal is to try and at least find a Ranger by 2025.
Oh, cool.
And then kind of
a standard cab?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I just want this standard exact truck. Water. But in my garage.
So if anyone has an 86 Ranger, does it have to be 86 or can it be 86 to 88?
It could be like an 84. It could be an
well, 80. Yeah, because what those
I just don't like.
I don't know much about Rangers, to be honest.
Okay, so this one has like the square headlights mm-hmm. in the grill. Then the year after it, it starts going like on the edge.
Oh yeah.
Of
oh,
it.
Yeah,
yeah. There's still a square body Ranger. Mm-hmm. But the thing I like the most about this truck is the grill.
Okay. So you like the older, you like the early generation.
I want the 80s style. So
if anyone's got one laying around,
yeah. Well,
you're going to get you're in luck
because automatic would be preferred.
There's like a, there's a bunch of cool.
You're also in luck. There. You're in luck and not in luck with those trucks because they are sitting in fields and sitting in people's yards everywhere. Like they're not like a Tacoma or a Toyota. But the downside to those is the interior parts. Finding one hard with functioning interior parts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not like you can just go and buy one that's like a Toyota or whatever where they like have people pull the door panels out and hoard them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People didn't do that with Rangers.
Right.
You know, so you, because I wanted to do an old F-150.
Oh, yeah.
Square body F-150, like from the 80s body drop.
Yeah, those just ones like, are really cool.
Yeah. It's like a big, it's like the bigger version of that.
Basically, yeah. It's like this perfect amount of square but rounded edges where it's not super square like a hard body and it's not super bubbly like an S10. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it's the perfect mix of both.
And you can put 17s on it, it's tucking half the wheel.
Yeah.
I always explain it.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
I always explain it too as like, if a little kid was going to draw a truck, they're drawing a
100% Ford Ranger. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have them draw it and then put it up to any truck and that's what they're drawing.
Yeah.
It is the perfect truck.
That's cool.
When I draw a truck now, it still looks like that.
Same.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know that they're pretty heavy at this show, so I definitely wanted to make this shirt before then. Yeah. So I did it on white because it's the simplest version of the shirt and I just wanted to do a small run of them as like, maybe it'll be a thing, maybe it won't. I just wanted this one Ringer tee, so now other people have the opportunity to make it.
Yeah.
Frank, make things for yourself, then try and sell them to people.
You don't know how envious all of us are of you, and you don't take advantage of it, and it makes us mad.
Yeah.
Oh, huh?
Yeah. We want the one-off stuff, and you don't do the one-off stuff.
Hey, to be fair, I did print a Toltecs for you that
it's
one
true.
Time.
It's true.
That one time. Frank's been printing shirts since 2004. Yeah. That one time.
That one time. Yeah.
No, yeah. Or I messaged you at one point. It never happened, and it's totally fine. But with that same design, I was like, can I get that in a long sleeve? Like, have this in an option.
I don't want this stuff for me. I don't wear that type of stuff. You know what I mean? I just wear the simple stuff. But I want you to make the stuff you want to make.
Yeah.
For you.
But this is the stuff that I like to make. I just wear black shirts.
Like the jacket.
The
windbreakers.
Yeah.
You've been talking about that for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the jacket I have with me on this trip is one of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, like, do it.
Yeah, I will. I will.
Even just make one for yourself. Like, that's how I end up with a sample bin, too, is because when that design is happening, like even if it's just the logo. Okay, cool. Well, let me see the logo also on this type of long sleeve and this brand long sleeve. And then maybe this short sleeve and a tank top. Like, because I just want to see the materials,
what it looks like, what this
brand is. Because I'm just looking at a stock photo of it that I want to see what it looks like in person. And then if I like it, I keep it for myself or I'll go on like the female mini trucker page and be like, hey, I have some one-off stuff if anybody wants it. And then I think that they might think that that's pretty cool too because you're getting like limited edition stuff.
Yeah, you get like exclusive things.
Yeah, or it's just a good tester of like when I did the gradient one with the blue and green gradient logo, I did some of them on purple just because in my brain I'm like, I feel like if the shirt was purple and it had blue and neon green on it, it would look cool. So the next time I did those shirts, I was like, throw in like 10 purple shirts and like two of every size or something. We'll throw them in. And I just went on the female mini trucker page and was like, does anybody want these purple shirts?
Do they turn out cool?
Yeah. They look really cool where I'm like, I should probably do these.
Yeah.
But then it's good too to know in advance. So like I'll make a long sleeve or a sweatshirt in like the summertime. So I already have it for a photo when I want to do it in the wintertime.
That's what I've been trying to get a little bit better at is like, I'm wearing all my stuff anyway, and we go to kind of these interesting places. So I'm now, I don't know if you guys noticed, but like a few times I'm like, hey, take a photo of me just standing here, like in front of this cool thing wearing the brand, you know? So I'm trying.
That's one thing too with the Pretty Low thing and like coming back is that I need you guys. I need you guys to post pictures of you wearing my stuff because I know that you guys are buying it now, but I need photo references.
Well, anyone listening to any brand you buy,
yeah,
wear it, take a photo of it, and tag the. It doesn't matter. It's not just us. Anyone, because that like people will share it, and it just helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and back to the Instagram thing too. Since I do take my own photos, I know that's not normal for other brands. So there is other brands that just share people's stuff all day, mm-hmm. and like that's how they're getting an audience.
Mm-hmm. I call that the C10 Vatos.
Yeah, like Joe does it. Yeah. Mini Truck and Takeover does that. Like mm-hmm. he'll share other people's posts and stuff like that, which is cool because people like seeing their stuff getting yeah. shared by like mm-hmm. a brand.
Yeah.
And I totally get it. But for me, I'm like, but my brand is me taking mm-hmm. photos. So like on the page, it says we're not a share page. Like all the photos are taken by Pretty Low or Surface.
Now, what about your stories?
Okay, so that's the thing is on my actual grid, if I'm posting it, besides if it's somebody who took a picture of them wearing a shirt or something, it's a photo by me, whether it was current or maybe it has a Surface watermark at the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. It was still my Surface photo. Yeah. It's not like Nick or Will's that I'm sharing. Because then it feels like everything is mine.
Mm-hmm. So
and this that's is, the way I feel this about my page. Well, page is me.
That's yeah. all I do too.
Yeah.
It's been a very, very few instances. I would say five or less that mm-hmm. the photo that I put on the grid on the actual post mm-hmm. wasn't mine.
Yeah.
And it had to have been something special or something like that.
Yeah. You know?
But stories, I'll reshare stories and all that stuff all day long. And yeah. I think that's what it's meant for. But yeah, anything that's like on that is my pictures.
Yeah. So the grid stuff is like all me because that's technically like my brand still. And I'll come and take a cool photo of your truck. I'm not trying to like go, you pay me to like do photos. Like I'm not trying to be that kind of photographer. Right. Yeah. I'm someone who like as soon as I'm forced to do something, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Or if you tell me I can't do something, it's like all I'm thinking about now. So I just like taking pictures of the things that I like. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, we used to take photos and video of everything. Not even really everything because we'd still do just what we wanted for like Surface, but still throwing in most of the stuff at the show. But then I was doing freelance stuff for Mini Truckin' for a while back in the day. And it's like, you have to take a photo of every single thing that's there. So there's just options. And mm-hmm. I don't want to take a photo of every single thing that's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We talk about this a lot. I got into a bad habit of film, like the video coverage and stuff, of thinking that I had to put everything in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it made my videos, it made me hate them.
Yeah. Like I'll go to a car show and I'll take a little local show, I'll take like 200 photos during the day. You'll see six of them. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's how I have so many banked photos now too. Like, even though the photos are old, some of them people have never seen because they've just, the raw photo has been sitting in a folder since 2008. And like, now I bring it up and I'll tweak it a little bit and like make it look a little brighter or something. Yeah. But yeah. I don't know how to use Photoshop. I'm not like
just hit
making
auto.
Fake
just
backgrounds and stuff.
Hit auto.
Yeah.
That's a really good job.
Now, I know now it's different. We're like, you go in there and you're like, make me anything. And it's like, here's your world.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it'll cool. just come up with whatever it feels like you need.
Yeah.
But yeah, my stories though, I'll share other people's stuff because on my personal page, I love sharing stuff. I never post anything on my like personal grid anymore, I noticed. Mm-hmm. But like in my stories, if you want to know who I am as a person and the things that I'm into,
that's cool.
Watch my Instagram stories because it's not necessarily me doing something and you're like learning who I am. It's like, no, I'm just finding cool stuff on the internet and trying to share it because I want more people to see these cool people doing things.
Yeah,
no, yeah. For sure. It's kind of what Joe's page morphed into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I liked different things that like kind of how we're talking about, we're all friends and collectively doing stuff and asking opinions. Like I like little things that everybody was doing, but I just want my version of it. Like
mm-hmm. right.
I like that Joe does a million stories in a day, but with Joe's, he also has like nature and
comedy.
You're whatever. Like trying to keep it car-centric.
Boobs yeah. and yeah. whatever. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to keep it more like, this is car-related, cool car-related stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm into so much more than just mini trucks. So that's another thing. Like, you're seeing all the stuff that I just yeah. think is cool. So.
And it's yeah. almost like when you do that and like when I comment on something, I'll comment on one of your stories. Like, you say, oh, that's cool or that's rad. It's almost like I'm telling you, like, that's cool. Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, that's your personality. That's what you like. So yeah. when someone says, like, hey, that's really cool, I like it, it's almost a compliment to you. Like, hey, yeah. that's, you have killer taste.
Like, I know. And the thing that you, I'm cool.
Yeah. I started doing that on the Grindr TV Facebook like page. I don't know what they're called. I call it the like page. Mm-hmm. And years ago, I was like, okay, every day I'm going to post a YouTube video that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
just
good,
yeah. whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I got out of the habit of doing that. I think it was just Facebook in general.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something that I go back to in my thoughts every once in a while. I'm like, I need to do that again. Because all I do is watch Facebook. All I do is watch YouTube. Mm-hmm. So why can't I just drop this and put it on the Grindr TV group page or whatever and just, if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. It's not a big deal.
Right.
It's just like, hey, this is what I like. It's yeah. kind of like my Spotify music playlist.
It's page. Like you're, it's just like you're curating ideas and you're curating like,
yeah.
stuff that represents yourself.
Yeah. And yeah. I do it on the Grindr TV Instagram quite a bit. Not as much as I want to. Cause sometimes I feel like I'm spamming and I don't want to spam, but then other times I'm like, no, who cares? Just do it.
Yeah.
Like it is what it is.
People love the consume content, no matter where it is, where it came yeah. from or who made it. They just want to consume content.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say about TikTok uh-huh. and stuff is that I like my little Instagram world. And now, like, after the pandemic and stuff, when TikTok became, like, a thing, like, mm-hmm. everybody was using it, that really shifted that everybody is on social media now. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be scrolling on TikTok and there's, like, a grandma, like,
yeah,
doing
yeah.
different stuff and you're just like, what is happening? Like, and it's cool that it's at everybody's fingertips now and everybody has access to it and can play around with it. It's fun seeing the grandma mm-hmm. that is dancing.
Yeah.
But there's also like the bad side of that too, is that back in the day, our scene was like its own little world. Mm-hmm. Like we had like Street Source and like Facebook and MySpace and stuff, but even Facebook and MySpace, like you were friends with those people and you were really friends with those people. Like
mm-hmm.
I'll have Facebook memories now where I'm like, I was doxing myself. Like my address is just
right.
out in the world. I'm having a rager tonight. Come yeah. to my house. Like
that's
between
funny.
This time and this time
yeah.
where I'm like, I could never do that now. Like the right. internet almost got bigger than itself all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about TikTok, where I'm like, I almost don't want to be, I don't want to personally post stuff on there, even though I know I'm going to have to, because I feel like I have to become a character.
Yeah.
Like I feel that's, like to sell that, stuff
I,
now.
I have the biggest problem with that.
That's what I mean, is like everybody became an influencer all of a sudden and everybody is on social media and like using these platforms as like, this is me and this is my face and this is who I am as a person, and all of a sudden you're like selling me something where yeah. I'm like, why is this random lady in this dirty kitchen selling me something? Like you're just an average lady. Like why are you why yeah. did everybody turn into a salesperson all of a sudden?
It is pretty strange. And like even doing like the Tacoma videos on YouTube now, because every even YouTube people, even Frank becomes a character in the mm-hmm. customer yeah. thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, but it's like I don't know how to do that. I'm not that type of person, but I still do it. I'll like when the camera turns on, it's like
mm-hmm.
it's right. just, you almost have to do hey. It. Yeah, you know. And it's like, but
I need to just start recording myself, and even though it's not going on the internet, just make like recording things and making a video that like only I see until I get used to seeing myself yeah. doing
when
that.
When I first started doing the vlogging thing, mm-hmm. I did that when I went to Vegas in the Maxima to put the Level Ride stuff on it. Like I vlogged all that. It's never been seen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of vlogs from back in the day that have never been seen. Mm-hmm. I have them still. They're still on my computer. But like
edited and everything, or
just like kind of edited. Like it was so funny because the one when I went to Vegas, and I'm filming the install, the level ride and stuff. Like I'm talking, and then I go to edit it, and I get back, and there's I had stopped at the gas station and got like peanuts or something.
Oh, there's just peanuts.
And there's just dust all over my shirt, and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I can't show that. Mm-hmm. But like yeah, it was just one of those things. Like learning. I remember driving back from picking up hats from RJ and stuff, and I was talking about the rocks in everyone's yard in Phoenix and how they break everyone's windshields.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking like I had a whole long conversation about that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no one cares. Yeah. This is not interesting. Yeah. But it takes those things to figure out what's interesting and what you have to show and what you don't have to show.
But you know what's crazy is that I do watch people who are just driving in the car and they're just talking about their day and where they're going to next. And then they get there and they're with their friend and they're vlogging. They're just showing their day and what they're doing.
I watch that too, but I don't feel like what I'm doing would translate into anything.
Right. So with that too, like back before, like the original Pretty Low, it was doing good because people knew who I was. Mm. Like there was coming off of the Surface thing and everybody knew who I was through Surface because I was the one of the three of us mm-hmm. who was the social one. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I've always been independent where I'm like, I'm gonna go to the bowling alley where people are just hanging out and like just go by myself, see what club's hanging out there. And like that's how we started hanging out with Perfect Poise, was going to like bowling nights on a Wednesday, just dollar bowling. Or going to the bar with like a different group of people. Like I was the one too that was setting up all the drag sessions back in the day. Oh, cool. Too. Like there was Street Source and then there was an Arizona specific page. And mm-hmm. I don't remember what that forum was called. But a lot of like Another Dimension was involved in that. But we'd figure out like, hey, we're going to do a massive drag session on the 51. Like this is where we're meeting up. And then when we get there, like I'm the one that's talking to people, and then like we'll come in. We'll come in more with like, hey, let's not get arrested. If you like flash your lights, if you see cops coming, like don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Especially too, because there is times where, I mean, it was on in the Easter egg on one of the DVDs, the drag crash that happened. Hmm. That was on the freeway with like 10 trucks, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And it ended up being on like Spike TV as like the craziest road disasters or something.
That was from a Surface video.
Yeah. That's cool. And it was like, we could have died. Yeah. Like, and it was because we went and were filming somebody else who had set up this drag. Oh. And they had people there that were like people that we wouldn't have
mm-hmm. had. What was that, Oliver?
No.
Because I came out here one time and there was an Oliver set up a drag session off the 51. And
no, this was after that.
Oh, okay.
The 51. So he did.
We met at a college party.
Yeah. There was a bunch of like drag times, but this was like after those became a thing. Mm. Then there was like a new generation of people that were coming in and trying to do it. And the guy that caused the accident was because he put too tall of drag blocks on the frame of his truck. Oh, so
when he went and aired it out, it just didn't have any control.
He was on the freeway in the front, and there's like rows of people dragging. And I remember my friend Corey came. He had just finished his Red Colorado that he was working on, and he was like, there's a show next weekend, and I don't want to mess my truck up. Like, I'm not going to drag, but I want to go and check it out. So he's all the way in the back. This whole accident happens in front of him and people are swerving and going out of the way because this guy lays his truck out. And like you're saying, well, now his truck's just teetering on the freeway on these blocks, spins out, and there's people like getting hit and then people trying to dodge the people getting hit. Well, all of a sudden you just see Corey coming up in his red truck and getting smashed into. Shit. And he's like, he was the one that ended up on Spike doing the interview where he's like, I wasn't even trying to be part of this. Like, the truck was nice.
I don't even know what any of this is.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was like the social one of the group or whatever. I don't remember why we were talking about me being social, though.
Just Instagram social. Coming off of the Surface stuff.
Oh, yeah. People knew who I was from that. And then I was in Perfect Poise. I had the Envoy. was doing all that stuff, was like heavily into all the shows. I, like I was saying about car shows, like I also like throwing shows. Like now I don't ever want to be in a car club again, even if building a Ranger, whatever I end up doing, like I will never be in a club again because I do like just being an independent person. Mm-hmm. Being part of a club was a huge part of my life, like in my 20s and early 30s. But now I'm just like, I don't want somebody asking me when I'm going to have something done and why mm-hmm. haven't you got different wheels for your truck or yeah. why weren't you at this thing? Like, because yeah. I want to go do whatever I want to go do. Yeah. Like, and I was traveling with like you guys more and stuff too, that I just have my own set of friends that I was hanging out with that like, I just kind of want to go do my own thing. Yeah. So
that is the thing that I remember No Regrets had, they used to have their anniversary party at Lake Paris Fairgrounds. Every once in a while, they just go camping and have a big party up there and stuff. And I remember it was me and Chad Lucas from Severed Ties. And we sat there and talked about, and this was probably 2003 or four or five. I don't remember, but we just sat there and talked about like, hey, in 20 years, where are we going to be? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like right now we're hardcore into these club things. Like you, why aren't you at the show? There's rules. And we all, that's what we lived for. Mm-hmm. I said, but like I had the forethought to be like, but that's not always going to be the case. Mm-hmm. So the club has to change and evolve.
Right.
At the same time, the person does. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, you don't want to get told what to do. You don't want to get nothing. Like yeah. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like when rules are in place on me. You know what I mean? But so that I kind of do that with our club.
And now literally 20 years later, you've implemented that and it is what it is and it's working well.
Yeah. Yep.
Like I don't even have kids or anything, so I can't even use the excuse of like my kid has football this weekend, so I can't be at the show or whatever.
Yeah, but and that's the
thing
a real,
is, I just don't want to do like, the thing, so I'm not going to. Like,
and that's the thing, right? Like, that's a real thing, kids. You know, with kids' sports, you don't need to make an excuse for that. And when you feel like you do, that's when it becomes unfun.
Right.
So if you say, you don't even need to say anything. It could be like, hey, this show's this weekend. Are you going? No, I'm not going. Cool.
Yeah.
Like that's it. Like we went to Havasu Meltdown. Not a single one of our club members was there.
Right. And the funny thing is that's my whole life is going to car shows and truck shows and everything. And when there's like a local cruise night in SoCal, I don't go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but again, like no one sweats it. They're just like, who's going? And I don't say anything and no one says anything. So it's cool.
It's a more of like not I don't want to say disappointment, but it's more of like a, oh man, that sucks. You didn't go. Cause I want to hang out with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Not because I want you to make me look cooler by adding a number to my count in my club.
Yeah.
Type thing. So it's a very like, car clubs are weird.
Yeah.
And we've all been around them. Mm-hmm. Different ones. You've been in different ones, around different ones. You know, Rich is in Severed Ties. He's been in it for years. I'm sure you've seen some pretty crazy stuff there.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I'm kind of independent that way too. When I used to go to SEMA, I used to just hang out with Severed and Negative Camera. No one from Forbidden went to SEMA. And then a bunch of people started going after that. But it's like, you should just be able to hang out with whoever and do whatever you want.
That was always the thing with me too, with like me being the social one, is when there is issues with like, well, why are you hanging out with No Regrets? Or why are you hanging out with so-and-so? It's like, because they're my friend. Like, I'm not trying to be part of like some gang shit. Like, if you're not in Forbidden, then who are you? Like, why are you hanging out with them? Like, you only allowed to hang out with Forbidden people. It's no, I'm just friends with everybody. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. And if I'm having a party, everyone's invited. And if you don't like somebody that's here, then you can leave. Yeah. Like, don't start trouble. Like, we're all just friends. It's not that serious.
Well, it used to be that serious, though.
I know.
That's the problem is this thing. The reason we're still in it is because we were serious back in the day.
It used to be that serious. But even when it was that serious, I was still the girl that was going. But why? Just be friends with each other. If you don't like them, it doesn't matter. Like, it's a sticker. Who cares what club they're in? Yeah. They're still the same person. Like, or like leaving a club and then you can't talk to them anymore. It's like, they're still my friend. Like,
I'm going to be honest. I was that way, you know, just being the president of Forbidden Fantasy. Like, I remember we all were rolling out to a show and my buddy shows up in his stock car. I was like, where's your car at? And he's like, what do you mean? I didn't bring it. I'm like, why not? This was late 90s.
Yeah.
You know, like, I remember getting mad because that's how serious I was into it.
No, but 100%. I was like ride or die, like the one that was getting mad at everybody for everything because they weren't showing up or like putting in the effort. And I felt like I'm putting my all into this and you're not.
Yep.
But then you just have to kind of get over it and be like,
whatever. You can tell you can tell who's in it for the long run and who's not and who's in it for the short run. Like pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, TikTok or whatever.
TikTok, man.
TikTok.
Yeah. Crazy. So to wrap it up.
Yeah.
My name's Lindsay. I'm sorry. It is literally 12? Midnight right now. It's 12:05.
This episode goes up in 3 hours.
I'm very sorry that this was very scattered.
It's okay.
I don't even know if I fully explained anything.
There's going to be next time. Don't worry.
Yeah, there
That's what we figured out. Like,
what I'll do is I'll keep recording myself so I'm less concerned that there's a camera on me and this is going to live forever and just be more open next time, because I'm not going to lie, audience. This is like the fourth time this had to restart.
It's all right.
Also, don't you remember messaging me asking me why you haven't been on the podcast yet?
No, I said, did I do something to not be asked? Because my brother, who doesn't have a brand or a business that he was trying to do, was already on a second time. And I'm just thinking,
You're like, that's cool.
I'm over here trying to get people to go to my website. And then my brother's like, videos are fun. I got this little camera. So pay attention to me now.
That's your fault you moved to Tucson.
I know. I hate it there.
At least you live in North Tucson.
Yeah, it's like exactly 2 hours to get to Phoenix.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that's been like the downfall of it is... And why last year it was like I did stuff and then there just wasn't shows and I kind of like was storing everything and I had the website up, but nobody was really buying anything. And I kind of just left it on the back burner was that I don't have anybody down there really that's like, hey, I'm going to come over real quick. And because I would just use all my friends all the time, like throw this shirt on. Let me take some pictures of you, like get social stuff going. It's like I don't have. But anybody, unless it's going to be 100 pictures of Rich wearing stuff.
But in
like,
reality, yes, the internet is, it rules all, right? Mm-hmm. And social media and algorithms and getting stuff out there. But the thing that still makes the most importance is just showing up to events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not throwing two t-shirts under the grinder booth. You have your own booth. You know what I mean? You're your own thing. And then like you
and doing it slow too. Well, like
doing it slow, but just being there.
Yeah.
And the guys that come out huge, you know what I mean? Like they either have the money to sustain it or they don't. Mm-hmm. So like when you don't have the money to just come out like that, and it's just, you're just in a little 10x10 and you just have five designs. It doesn't matter. The name, you just get the name out there constantly. Mm-hmm. You know, Frank's been doing it since 2004. And he redid his brand, basically started fresh in 16 or whatever that was, you know, and I've been doing this since 06 and it's like, it's just now starting to make sense. Mm-hmm. But the only reason that it is because we never stopped.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so like you kind of went and then stopped. If you just, you went to Art of Noise, you're going to Mini Nats. You were at Forbidden, kind of. No.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's the thing, too, is like, so 2024, I'm like, I'm going in hard on this. And sorry if that just made a noise. But so the picture thing, I'm like, I'm going to post a photo every single day. I'm going to post something just every single day. And I've already noticed that, like, the engagement has already gone up a ton since just doing that. But also shows, I'm like, I have basically a show every single month. So try and do a show and do something new.
And,
it was straight out the gate, Art of Noise, canceled, get to Forbidden, get sick and end up in the hospital. Yeah, and then after, like, Art of Noise, I'm like, if nobody shows up to this show now because they're all in Havasu or this other show, like, there's going to be four people here. Like, I can't win. I'm really trying, and I can't just win at a show.
I know, it's pouring down.
Yeah, I was telling you, I'm like, I am going to lose my mind.
We have to stop having Lindsay come with us.
Yeah.
She's like, hey guys, can we tackle it? We're like, there's no more room in the truck. Yeah,
every time I try to go to a show.
If you look, even if you didn't do a show every month, even if you just did a show every 2 months or 3 months. It doesn't matter because look how fast time's flown.
There's definitely going to be a break too, because after rolling in the Red Rocks, possibly going to that June...
Scraping the Rockies?
No, the like import thing that's here.
Oh, yeah.
Going to that, but then after that, it's like, what is there in like July, August,
nothing,
September?
Yeah, nothing here. But
it's
just
too hot here.
But those 3 months are going to fly by.
Yeah.
So like you'll be at the next one like that. And then
all of a sudden
it's
going to be October.
It's going to be October, December. It's going to be forbidden again. It's going to be whatever again.
It just keeps
and
going.
And if you just show up.
Yeah.
And just get, it's just about putting the brand in front of people's faces. That's all it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they see it over and over, and it's just like a mental thing. And it's the same thing on TikTok or on Instagram or on Facebook or whatever. It's literally just seeing over, you post once a day. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as going to a show once a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's literally just being there, showing up and being there.
That's what I was trying to say to like Graham when I was trying to get the booth at Rolling in the Red Rocks. He's like concerned that maybe there's too many like merch brands there, where it's like, well, I want everybody to make money, and if everybody has the same thing, like I'm scared that you guys aren't going to make money. And I'm like, I don't care, I'm coming either way. Yeah. I just want my name there, like,
mm-hmm. And that goes
even
back
if I make $100, even if I make no money, it's like I went and I went to a new show.
Yeah,
I got pictures and video while I was there. Yeah. I had a good time.
And that goes back to what I was saying about the responsibility. It's our responsibility to sell the merch.
Yeah,
to make
I don't
the
expect
merch that's
anybody
a
tr- to.
Well, to make the merch that people want.
Yeah.
You know, we've been to that show in Indiana that we went to, and that dude showed up. He had the middle finger shirt.
Yeah.
And he's just sold out. You know what I mean? Like, he just sold out of it. I didn't sell anything at that show. But, like, not that was my fault. That kind of got off topic there. But, like, it is, like, if there's 10 T-shirt brands all next to each other, it's, like, it's my job to make the shirts that sell.
Yeah. Which I think that also comes into play when, if you have a brand, you should, like, how yours is very you, and yours is very you, and I feel like mine is very me,
for sure.
Where you have to stay like authentic to yourself.
Yep. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. make the things that you like and that mm-hmm. you think are cool and are creative, because to me, when I'm looking at like not naming anybody because it's just general all the mini truck brands, but I'm like, they all look kind of just look the same.
Right.
They all just look like car show event t-shirt.
Yeah.
Which the artwork is amazing. That artwork costs a lot of money too to get made, and they find really good artists, but at the same time, it's just not my style thing.
There's been plenty of t-shirts that Frank's made that I don't buy, and plenty of shirts I made that he doesn't wear. Mm-hmm. He's like, that's cool, it's just not my deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? I think it's like great the same way as I am a single color truck person. Mm-hmm. I don't like crazy paint jobs. I'm getting a little bit more into like light graphics on something I'm into, but I like a solid or like a two-tone. When there's all the crazy paint, like something about it just isn't, I don't like it.
Yeah.
But the artist that painted that, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And like that's crazy that you have rolling art like that. Like I appreciate that, but it's just not for me.
There's another side to that too. Like being authentic to yourself is perfectly fine, but you also have to remember we're going to truck shows.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you can just, hey, like I like this t-shirt and it has nothing to do with trucks at all. And you do that to all of your shirts.
Yeah.
So you could have, if you have 10 shirts and there's it has to be a percentage of them that if you look at it and go, that's a truck, because in the mix of those 10, they has to be known as a truck or a car brand vehicle, an automotive brand. All 10 can't say Los Angeles on them. Mm-hmm. Like that's you, right?
Yeah.
All 10 can't like have cameras on them. Or video camera, like I'm a film guy, so they can't all have a video camera on them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then yours can't be just, like, say, just pretty low.
Yeah.
It has to be, like, you have to kind of mix it up to make sure that that brand is known, that it's an automotive brand, but also you go the way of, like, it's an automotive brand, but I also want you to be able to wear it, like, a girl to wear it.
I like simpler stuff.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thing with, like, the paint jobs. Like, I don't like crazy stuff. I like a shirt where you could wear that out and somebody just thinks that's a skate shirt because they know the Thrasher logo, but it is a shop, like a mini truck shop, or just that's why a lot of my stuff had sayings. But even if I'm doing a shirt that has a saying, it's going to have like a fun font or like a creativeness to that, not just like white block letters on black shirt. Mm-hmm. Like Like, I just want it to be a little bit, like, nicer. And I'll say shout out to Mike Myers. I know he's always commenting and watching on this, that he told Will that he at Art of Noise yesterday that he's glad that I, like, stayed true and kept the soft shirts, like, hasn't gone and tried to get, like, a cheaper shirt or something. Yeah. Like, because that's what I want to wear, and that's what I'm going to give to somebody else. So the same thing with, like, working at a shop. It's I was constantly touching fabrics, and, like, I know that this feels good and this does not feel good. And when I wash this one, it shrinks up and out. And when I wash this one, it shrinks in. And, like, I want to know all those things, because the thing with girls too, and how I always did the booth at the beginning, and now I'm kind of want to try and start doing it again, is girls like shopping by themselves. A girl generally doesn't want to go up to a booth and ask for a size, I've noticed. So I would set my booth up in the original Pretty Low time as a store more, where it was racks, and then I had everything out on the tables in folded stacks. So you could sit and just shop like you're at a store. Like, you go into Tilly's, and there's the table with the shirts stacked up. And then you just kind of go through, open what you want, see what looks cool. You're going through the rack shopping. Hey, like, I can pull this one out and look at it on me a little bit. Ask my friend. You're not having to ask somebody, can you?
That's the perfect scenario, though. That, like, I always wanted to do wooden shelves for hats. So one row sat on the table, one row sat up, and one row sat up. But the problem is, we're not inside.
Yeah.
We're outside. You're dealing with the weather. So if you have folded t-shirts and a gust of wind comes up, they're not folded anymore. They're on the ground. Like,
I did folded t-shirts for like 2 years.
It's hard. Like, Stay
it
Loaded.
It is hard.
Stay
it
Loaded hard, does folded me. Shirts. They have their booth and they have shelves in the back that are long ways. And they all of their shirts, none of them are in bags. They're all perfectly folded and they're stacked. Like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
But they don't do as many booths as we do. And I just, with the weather, it's tough. But the perfect scenario for me is like you're saying, like, create that store. We've always talked about it too. Like, like do 10 by 20 and a 10 by 20 behind it. And then you come inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just doing it with technically a 10 by 20, I guess. And then all the tables were just inside.
Yeah.
So I wasn't behind anything. I was standing in the center, like, greeting you to come into the booth. That's how it was at Forbidden that year, where it was just like people trickling into this little store and shopping. Like, I had all these racks lined up and it was just hangers full of stuff, and then you could shop because, hey, maybe you wanted a large, but now you're looking at the medium or you're looking at the extra large and you're like, I could fit in this. Or, hey, I don't want to ask her to see, like, the maroon shirt now. Like, I already asked for the purple one. I don't want to, like, I feel like people, like, get dodgy with that, where I like seeing people just come up to racks and, like, shop with their friends and whatever. And then, like, I just want all these. Like, I feel like the sales are better, but that's just what I've noticed with girls. Like, girls don't want to come up, especially if you're, like, a bigger girl. You don't want to come up and be like, do you have a 3X?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care, but, like, you could be embarrassed by that, and I don't want you to feel embarrassed.
You just want to make the experience the best for the customer.
I'm always just trying to see at a show, like I was saying about LST and other shows, like, now I'm not judging anybody, but I am looking at every single person that is walking around the show.
Yeah.
Even for Mini Nats, I had told you that I had started panicking because I watched a video of, like, one of those guys that just, like, hits record and just walks the whole show. I was like, oh, this is, like, way bigger than I thought it was. And then seeing, like, the merch corral area where all the booths are, I'm like, I should probably order some more stuff and maybe I should do this. But the same time, I'm like, what size are the people that are walking around in the background? What am I noticing colors people are wearing?
Right. And it's a whole different part of the country.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game. So I'm excited.
Well, you're listening to this. It's 12:19. So once we're done with this, I'm going to edit it. We're uploading it on your channel.
I forgot about that.
So you have to stay awake.
Yeah. I'm barely hanging in. I don't know if you guys could tell. I'm barely hanging in.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap it up now.
All right.
And come by the booth and check out Lindsay's brand, Pretty Low, and buy some stuff.
Yep.
And buy some stuff from us. And
say what's up.
Go on the website and all that stuff. Follow her on Instagram and everything.
Yeah. Pretty Low Apparel on Instagram. Surface Girl is my personal Instagram. Both of them are public. None of that private. If you have a private Instagram, get it together.
Yeah. Like, what's your website address?
Prettylittlepearl.com.
Cool.
It's closed right now when you're listening to this, and it will open back up. Well, it's open, but everything shows is sold out because I don't know what inventory is left in there from that show yesterday. And then I don't know what I'm going to have left. So I'm just going to do inventory when we get back next week, and then everything will be back on there. I'll put all the, I have a lot of one-off stuff. So if you look at the website, there's designs that I have in person that are not on there and color options and stuff. So come by the booth. To answer your question too, hopefully if all of these sell out, I will make a black version. Please buy the white version though, because the white version is cool. It's not this. The shirt has a back print. This is a one-off for me.
Oh, okay.
But it is a white shirt, blue left chest. This design is on the back. So if you don't want a giant thing on the front, but buy them. And then I already had people at Art or Noise being like, I'd buy it if it was black. Another thing too I want to do with this is make the little political signs, the yard signs. Oh, yeah,
that'd be cool.
So I'm going to try and knock that out too. But
I said you should make those. And then when on the street corners, when everyone's all crazy with the political signs, just put it right in the middle. Like you'll have a Trump sign and a Biden sign or something. And you just like hammer yours right in the middle of that. And people will be like, wait, what's that?
Yeah. Definitely going to do that. I'll make like a couple big ones so I could take pictures of them too. But I want to make like the little at home, like Leslie Knope for president ones that used to happen. Yeah, so do something like that. But
right on.
Come by.
Frank's done.
Yeah,
Frank's
done. I checked out a while ago. I don't know if you guys noticed. All right. Bye.